And it's Metro Talk time for our first Sunday roundtable debate, our political roundtable debate. The panelists are in place. They are, no doubt, Emily Leffler, independent, James Pomeroy, James Pomeroy, Republican. Made a mistake there. Nicholas Songwalk, Libertarian, Eric Mickelson, Green Party, and Patrice McKinney, Democrat. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Gary.
That's good. That was very strong. It sounds like the mandate, the word of the hour, the word of the year, the mandate. What is the mandate? We know what the mandate is. What about this, Eric Mickelson? What do you think about the fact that President Bush has made a mandate?
Well, Jerry, you know, actually, I'm not sure I would call it a mandate. I think if you look and compare this second term to, say, Ronald Reagan's second term, where he won something like 67% of the popular vote, that, in fact, could probably reasonably be called a mandate. Certainly, 4 million more votes is impressive. I will give that to George Bush, and obviously the Republicans had a lot of success in both the Senate and the House. I think basically the next 2 to 4 years are going to be on the Republicans' shoulders. Whether things go well or they go poorly, they basically will have full responsibility.
Nicholas Songwalk.
In contrast to an election in which the president didn't win any of the did not win the popular vote, any sort of margin looks like a mandate. But in this election, it's pretty obvious that the president, especially the president's party, took a lot larger chunk of the vote than I think people expected.
Emily Leffler.
Well, I'll agree with both Nick and Eric. Certainly, the Democrats need to take this as an opportunity to rethink their campaign and how they run a campaign. But I'd hesitate to call a mandate. 60% roughly voter turnout. So 50% of that means 30% of the country is actually in support, actively, vocally in support of the president's policies. I'd hesitate to call that a mandate.
Patrice McKinney, Democrat.
Jerry, absolutely. 3% does not constitute a mandate. Our country is still divided 48% to 51%. I don't consider that an overwhelming majority for President Bush. I think the Democrats had a fantastic showing. Karl Rove did a great job of incrementally increasing the party base. 3% is not a mandate.
Jim Pomeroy, my question to you, we know what the mandate is, but my question to you is one of the serious things, and Patrice brought it up, and that is how are we going to unify this country? Because all through this campaign, there was so much divisiveness. All through the campaign, it even got ugly in some places. Even the speeches by candidates and down into the counties and towns and cities, there was this great divide. President Bush said in his press conference day before yesterday, I think it was Friday, that we are going to have to unify. I mean, that was the thing that he's looking for. How will he do that?
Well, first of all, I would say that if we're not unified now, we haven't been since 1988, which was the last time a president received such a wide margin of victory. So we have a mandate. In fact, President Bush broke President Reagan's 1984 record in terms of total vote. So, quite frankly, I think we can put this to rest, this idea that we're a divided country. The Democrats spent tons of money. They had George Soros spending questionably legal money, the 527s and all of that. You had people very, very motivated, and the Democrats still, with all of that, could not top 48% of the vote.
But you're not answering my question. The president said himself, we must unite. We must unify.
Right, we must unite.
And you're
saying that is President Bush.
But you're saying behind President Bush.
I say we are united.
But he didn't say behind President Bush. He said he wants to go to the Democrats. He wants to work with everybody who did not.
Of course he does.
Excuse me. That did not vote for him. Those are his words.
Of course he wants to work with everybody, but don't expect him to change his policies.
Jerry, I'd just like to take a moment to correct some of Jim's claims over here. Again, the White House has latched onto this term mandate. The media has latched onto this term mandate. And Jim himself just claimed that it's been since the Reagan era that a president won with such a large margin. In fact, Clinton won in both elections with a much, much greater margin. And the only reason he had a plurality rather than a majority is because we had Ross Perot and people weren't afraid to vote for a third candidate. And, in fact, Kerry won the second highest number of votes in a popular election. We had a huge turnout this year.
I think for all the discussion about mandate or no mandate, it's really just semantics. The issue is George Bush lost the popular vote in 2000, and he went along governing as though he had a mandate. He pushed through legislation that basically looked like he would have won 60 or 70% of the vote. He didn't care that he lost the popular vote. So I don't really expect anything to change this time around.
To answer your question, Jerry, the way that the president can bring people together is to acknowledge those issues that cross party lines that actually gave him the office in the first place. The idea that Social Security has some fundamental problems and needs fixing. The idea that people feel that their taxes and the size of their government is too large. The ideas that span party lines that cross into the red states and the blue states that really unify the middle class swing voters, if he focuses on those aspects of his platform, then he will unite. If he focuses on wedge issues that were able to get his base out but that weren't really popular with a broad cross-section of America, then we'll have more of this divisiveness.
Our telephone number 301-230-0980. Pound 980 in the Verizon wireless system. Lines are open, so get online now if you have a comment or if you'd like to certainly present your point of view. We open our microphones to you and to all that have a point of view. That's what democracy is about in public affairs. Notice how I push that public affairs thing. Right here on Metro Talk from Clear Channel Radio in Washington, WBIG FM 100.3, as well as Sports Talk 980 AM. 301-230-0980, pound 980 on Verizon. I'd like to hear from you on how you think we should unite in the United States of America and come closer together with better objectives.
Jerry, George Bush has used the uniter rhetoric since the year 2000, and what we have is a country that's more divided than it's ever been. We've got popular opinion around the world against the United States, and we have a divided Iraq. The only way that George Bush can bring this country together is by making some fundamental changes in his approach to government, including the "if you're not with me, you're against me" attitude. If that doesn't change, this country will never be united.
Okay, our panelists need to have a fundamental adjustment in their attitude. You guys are all sitting here talking like the guy lost. We won 51-48, largest vote total since Ronald Reagan in 84, largest percentage since Bush's father in 88. Your boy Bill Clinton, and that means you, independent Emily Loeffler, your boy Bill Clinton didn't get a majority ever. Ever. So I don't want to hear any more about United. George Bush won a majority.
Everybody's crying there.
When 48% of the United States is against George Bush, I would not say we have a united
country. Can I make a quick point just to clarify for Patrice? I have family who lived in Texas during Bush's governorship there. Bush in Texas was a uniter. There is a problem in this country that is not limited to just the president. I hate to defend the president, but in this case, I'm going to.
Well, you're libertarian.
I'm not a big fan. However, there's two sides to this. The fact that the Democrats ran a campaign that was based on hatred of the president, that was based on anyone who could get him out of office, and have for the last 4 years been sniping the entire time, does not help unite. It helps divide. So what the president has found is that Washington is a lot less amenable to let's cross party lines than Texas is.
Nick, just because President Bush could lead Texas doesn't mean he's qualified to lead the United States. Just because he could unite Texas.
And if you keep questioning his qualifications publicly, then how do you expect to unite with him?
Eric, she's just divisive.
Well, you know, I think the issue is that Nick hit on it, that really the problem was that it was an anybody but Bush election. And I thought for a while that it would be enough to propel Kerry to at least an electoral college victory. But that strategy proved not to be successful, I think, yet again.
Emily Loeffler.
And the president might have been had a more conciliatory presidency in comparison to his governorship in Texas if he didn't take the stance that he did post 9/11. Who knows what kind of presidency he would have had if he didn't take the "you're with us or you're against us"
Jim Pomeroy. Jim Pomeroy, let me ask you this. What roles did the issue of moral values, gay marriage play in these elections? Did it hit John Kerry?
Well, I've heard a lot of Democrats say that this was a mistake on their part for bringing up a controversial issue so close to an election.
And according to a Newsweek article this week, the behind the scenes, it was alluded to that in that conversation with Bill Clinton before Bill Clinton went before his surgery, it was kind of advised.
Well, I mean, clearly, when you look at the state,
not to
do it.
Play the card.
You know, Bill Clinton's a smart politician, but a wrong politician in a lot of cases, but a smart one. And I think this is an issue. This is an issue that turned people out in Ohio, turned people out in a number of states, and politically it didn't work out for the Democrats.
Let's talk to the people. 301-230-0980, #980, the Verizon Wireless System. After a week of intensity in America, when it having to do with the election of a president, we find that 51% to 48%. Certainly selected George Bush for re-election. Emily Loeffler, Independent. James Pomeroy, Republican. Libertarian Nicholas Sawalk. Eric Mickelson, Green Party. And Democrat Patrice McKinney on deck. Let's talk to Mike in Woodbridge. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Pretty good, buddy.
Listening to your talk, I usually don't, but I'm working today. The subject of who should be reaching out. I think the Democrats, Independents, so on, would have more of a case if they had won more Senate seats or House seats and it was just a President Bush victory, nothing else. He brought coattails. He brought four more senators on board, conservative senators. He held the House. He gained in the House. So if anyone needs to be reaching out, it should be the Democrats. Because he not only had a mandate on his election, but he also had a mandate on the Senate and a mandate on the House. So I think they should be the ones that have to reach out.
Okay, Mike, hold on the line, please. Tony in D.C., let's get your input. Mike, you've just heard. Go right ahead.
Good morning.
Turn your radio down first.
Hold on, okay.
Let's turn your radio down. 301-230-0980, #980 on Verizon. Go right ahead, sir.
In order to see some of this division in the country, I think the president first should acknowledge just what part of the country he won. First of all, he needs to reach out to the urban areas. If he looks, Curry won basically the urban areas and most of the minority votes. The president won, I would say, the rural section, which I call the red states, and right there, that's division. And the panelists that you have on board said something to the effect that the other panelists need to acknowledge what the president has done. Well, I feel like that panelist, his division right there, basically with the, you know, we need to come together, for real. That's how I feel. We all need to come together. It shouldn't be no us and we. He's saying we won. It shouldn't be no us and we. We need to start that us and start beginning
okay.
with we.
Okay, gentlemen, let me ask you this one question, and I'll let you guys go. I'll start with you, Tony. There's a big difference between disagreeing and, you know, one saying, you're not on my side. Do you think that a lot of people just disagree with John Kerry or just Mr. Bush, and this is what causes the divisiveness?
Right. I think that's one of the issues, but there's no compromise. And then there's no acknowledgement from the president.
Okay, Mike, why can't there be a compromise?
Well, I think, and of course I'm a conservative Republican, I'm going to bring my agenda here. Who doesn't compromise? I don't think Democrats have compromised. I mean, if you look at Tom Daschle, what was the one thing he did? He obstructed the justice is coming. The people spoke. They said, okay, we're tired of that. You're gone. I mean, the president reached out on No Child Left Behind to Ted Kennedy. He reached out on campaign finance reform. The president reached out. The Democrats have not. They're the ones that have been obstructionists. So I think we need to check and look to see who's the ones that are not making any concessions, and I think you'll see that it's mostly been the Democrats.
Okay, thank you, Mike. Thank you, Tony.
I was just going to ask Tony. I'm curious as to what would have gotten him to vote for President Bush, because a lot of the reason that the president didn't campaign in urban areas was there's no percentage there.
Pat in Alexandria. Good morning.
I'd like to compliment Nicholas on once more being the voice of reason.
Oh, my goodness.
How are you, Nicholas?
I'm great, Pat. How are you?
I'm fine. And frankly, the only Republican mandate that came out in that election was 77-23, John McCain, Arizona.
Ooh.
Start looking at your numbers. There is no mandate for the president at all. What there is the devil you know versus the devil you don't know. But the other problem that the Democrats have is they're not welcome in the South anymore. They have lost their basic constituency. They've gone and decided that they need the city vote. They can go in there, and that's going to save them. It's not. I mean, and please, tell John Kerry to get rid of that barn coat. It is the biggest fake prop I have ever seen in my life. But this is your, this is ridiculous.
It's like he borrowed it from Verizon or something.
No, he didn't. No, no, he didn't spend that much money. I understand that there's a Walmart somewhere outside of Boston, but you know, it's only a rumor. Yeah, no. But I think, I don't think the Republicans can do anything about uniting this country as long as they use the M word. I don't think the Democrats can lose their arrogance, and that's what it is. You know, I mean, you look at John Kerry in West Virginia, the Democrats thought they'd take that. Hello! But until you start reaching out, until everybody starts realizing that the only way to unite this country is to reach the people.
Okay.
And not stand there and say, I've got it. Jerry, oh. I am so glad you had Rose.
Isn't she gorgeous?
I love her to death.
Ah.
We're going to take her to lunch, too.
Okay, good.
Take care, dear. Bye.
You got to see her. Thank you very much, Pat. Appreciate your call. Daniel in Falls Church, good morning.
I love her to death.
Daniel, you have to turn your radio down, my friend, okay? You there? Okay, he's gone. Jim Pomeroy.
Well, Pat may not think there's a mandate, but let me repeat once again so everyone catches it. He broke Ronald Reagan's 1984 vote record, and he's the first.
Like John Kerry in Vietnam.
And he's the. Well, we don't have to listen to John Kerry anymore. He's the first. President Bush is the first president to get a majority in this country since 1988. Mandate, baby.
You know, Jerry, this is another case of Republican PR. If you repeat it enough, that makes it.
It's
true.
A fact.
No,
Miss Independent.
Excuse the Republicans me. Can redefine the word mandate if they like, and you know, apparently 51% of the country. Will believe it's true, but our callers were correct. The Democrats need to relook. I mean, John Kerry should have been mopping the floor with President Bush, with the scandal, the smear campaign, the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth. When you compare military records, political records, the Democrats should have had a stronger candidate and a stronger platform and been able to reach more people. That is a fact.
Patrice, speak for the Democrats.
Well, Jerry, let's talk for a moment with what George Bush has done in the past with majority support. After 9/11, we had 91% of the world behind George Bush and the United States.
Yep.
Today, they're not. Okay,
who
so now
cares?
We have 51% of the Americans, 51, clearly not a mandate, a simple majority behind George Bush. Let's hope he doesn't squander the confidence that these folks have put in him.
Eric, based on what I'm hearing here, my question is, as a taxpayer in the United States of America, and great hopes and patriotism and love for my country, can't we, what did the guy say?
Can't we all get along? You know, I think... My feeling actually is, obviously, I wish that George Bush wouldn't have won the presidency, but I'm willing.
Why?
To, he wasn't my guy. I disagree with a lot of his policies.
But he wasn't a lot of people's guy. But he,
right. Jerry. What I'm saying is, even though he wasn't my guy, and I disagree with a lot of his policies, I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm willing to see if he can be a uniter, really, because I have no other option. Let's see what happens.
Brian. Brian in Prince George's County. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Go right ahead, Brian.
Listen, I just like to make a couple of comments. One is that I believe that how could the Ohio voters have their presidency hinge on their vote and they vote for a man who cost them millions of jobs in Ohio? Thank you.
Okay.
Because there are a lot of other issues. People don't necessarily make it a presidential decision on one issue, and this was a
well,
broad-based coalition.
Job, though,
well, you know what? They looked at it, and they looked at the war in Iraq, and they looked at a number of other issues, and they said President Bush is getting it done.
If I can't put food on the table for my child and for my wife, that's a pretty big issue, buddy.
They voted for him.
Well, I don't know.
More of them voted for them.
Yes, they did.
Yes, they did.
There were others. Very small.
Go ahead.
I have one criticism of both candidates, and that was that this election was essentially an election that was built on the politics of fear. George Bush tried to scare people into thinking, you have to vote for me so Kerry doesn't win. Kerry tried to scare people to say, you have to vote for me so Bush doesn't win. Well, the result of that, the upshot, is that both candidates spent so long talking about how bad the other one was, and we end up electing one of them. I voted for Michael Badnarik, and 400,000 Americans did that.
Nobody knows who I am.
My problem is the fact that basically this culture of fear says that you aren't allowed to choose someone else.
Yeah, excuse me. Eric, can I ask you a question?
Please do, Jerry.
I forgot my question now. After hearing
something about Ben, something about Bednarik, I think the question was.
Something about
maybe ask about Cobb.
No, it wasn't about. Yeah.
Well, let's just say an obituary for Ralph Nader right now.
Harold in Rockville, save me, please, my friend. Go right ahead.
All right, I've been a government employee for 30 some years and lived through a lot of administrations. I don't think I've ever had an administration that was so arrogant, if you will. I think your previous speaker hit the nail on the head. You know, the first administration, Bush administration, didn't even win the popular vote, and they acted as if they had a mandate. So I really don't have any faith that that there's going to be any move to the center based on 51 of 100 people voting for Bush. It's just it's just as divisive an approach to government as I've ever seen, and I really don't expect I expect it to get worse, not better. So I have absolutely no faith that it's going to the center at all.
Harold, hold on the line. Bill in Manassas. Good morning, Bill. Bill, Harold is saying that he doesn't see this coming to the center. It's going to be one-sided. How do you feel about the election?
With the majority of seats that they've won in the Senate now, it's going to be a lot easier for programs and things that he wants to initiate to go through, because they really only have to have a few votes from the Democrat side now in order to pass things through. I voted for Bush for two big reasons. One, they made such a big deal out of his record with Vietnam, and yet on another program I heard that there's 104 pages of his military record that he refuses to release, and that he was being investigated at the end of his military career and had lost his top secret clearance because of some issues he had.
You're talking about Bush, right?
Kerry.
Yeah, I'm talking about Kerry.
Okay.
And also Kerry's plan about Social Security limiting the payment to the rich. Well, the way I look at it is this: if you're in a retirement fund and you pay in $1 million to a retirement fund, you want that $1 million when you retire. You don't want to give somebody else that money and only take a certain percentage of it.
Okay.
And that was his plan for Social Security, and there's no way I could agree with that.
Okay, Bill, thank you very much. Harold, is there a follow-up?
No, I don't know what else I can say other than you know, I really am not looking forward to the political environment next 4 years.
Okay, thank you very much, Harold. Thank you very much, Bill. Both of you guys. Stu in Bethesda, good morning.
Yeah, no longer Silver Spring, Jerry, now Bethesda.
Okay.
Hey, a couple of things. First off, the last gentleman who's mentioned Social Security might be a good topic for the Economics Forum. On jobs, somebody mentioned that earlier and how they thought it was going to affect the presidential election.
Mm-hmm.
The government came out with revised numbers. In October, there were actually almost 340,000 new jobs created. And in September, they raised the number from around 70,000 up to almost about 140,000. So there's 500,000 people who had jobs that weren't being counted in the polls. And that probably made a difference in states like Ohio. Let's see. Vietnam. I am a Vietnam-age person. I had my student deferment. I kept it. I wasn't going to give it up, but I also wasn't going to run anywhere. However, I am tired of hearing people talk about the president did use, and I did not vote for the president, but I'm tired of hearing people say the president used his family connections. Let me say it this way. Everybody that I know, if their family had been in a position to get them into the National Guard, they would have used it. Come on, people. That's the way it works. We've got 2 years to the next elections. At that time, if the Republicans have not worked to bring the country together, there will be changes in both the House and the Senate. That's okay. What people have to look forward to. So anyway, it's time to get past some of this stuff. Unfortunately, Kerry is the one who brought up Vietnam. He went and served over there. He did the right thing. George Bush was in the National Guard. He did the right thing for the time also.
Okay.
So it's time to get past the people.
Stu, that's what I like. Let's move on. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Rick and Annandale, let's move on. Rod, your comments, please.
Yes, I just wanted to say that, and good morning to you gentlemen, I just wanted to say that it's kind of a get us once, shame on you, get me twice, shame on me type of atmosphere this time around. I think it was two poorly ran campaigns by the Democrats. I think they really had an opportunity to take the House, the White House, back in their hands. But when you, when you're facing a country that is divided, and this is a country that, you know, we have Islamic extremists as our enemy and so forth, and everywhere you look, you're seeing God We Trust. It's in our, in our Pledge of Allegiance. And you have a president who could not stand on any of his issues or what he's done over the last 4 years.
Hello, Rick. You lost us on the way from I-95 to Annandale. Tony in Arlington, good morning.
I voted for Senator Kerry. And, you know, I thought both candidates would do a good job. But I am getting kind of tired of people lamenting the fact or trying to figure how stupid people had to be to vote for President Bush. People voted, President Bush won, and like the previous caller said, if he doesn't do a good job or he fails to bring the country together, well, we, you know, we get to vote in a new party next time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kind of getting tired of the, well, you know, he's not my president, or I just can't believe Ohio could have been that stupid. People vote, and we elected the president, and people, we just need to move on and support the president, and just, you know, and if we don't like how it goes, we can vote one more year.
And that's the nice thing about America. Thank you very much, Tony. I appreciate your call. Ellie in Woodbridge, good morning.
Morning. I just want to agree very strongly with your last caller. He said pretty much what I was going to say, and that is, if the Democrats had won, they would be calling for this country to pull together and for everyone else to put aside what their position was and to try to move in a new direction. And at this point, the Republicans have won. I didn't even vote Republican, but they have won. And I think we need to put aside this kind of talk about divisiveness. This country is divided in that we all have our own opinions.
Mm-hmm.
That's the beauty
mm-hmm.
of America.
Right.
We're allowed to have different opinions. I think the Democratic Party needs to be careful about alienating anyone with a difference of opinion. And I think that might be what happened here, that it doesn't feel inclusive. I know they say they're liberal, but sometimes liberal means you have to agree with us or there's something wrong with you.
Mm.
I mean, I heard y'all, or even your panel, laughing about someone voting for a third-party candidate. Shame on you all. We really should just be respectful of each other, and we need to move together, forward together. That's just my opinion.
Thanks, Ellie. Jim Pomeroy.
We weren't laughing at Nick. We were laughing with Nick because Nick is so single-minded on Bednarik.
Right.
We love Nick. All of us love
right.
Nick, but he's so single-minded
he lost,
on Bednarik.
Though.
Yeah, it does amuse us on
that. We know
he but he got about the same amount of votes as Nader after outspent 4-1.
Breaking news: Bednarik lost. Daniel in Falls Church. Good morning. No, in all sincerity, we have had this discussion many times in this panel about third party represent. Well, we got two party representatives here, Libertarian, Green Party, etc. Well, we're not laughing against the third party. It's just that you have to see Nicholas. It really makes us laugh.
And let me congratulate Jerry here, because this is one of the few political panels that does have multiple third party representation every
right.
time.
Right. And that's from a Republican, folks, that I'm getting that compliment. Daniel in Falls Church. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. I just want to say, make a comment regarding the election.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right, very quickly, sir.
Okay. I think the Republican Party, moving about 12, 14 years ago, when they had an election, they were going after the black vote. I think on this election, though, they kind of went to the Hispanic, the Latin vote. And I think that one of the big reasons they won is because I think that's what it is. I think they're not.
So you have to turn your radio down. You're in two different worlds. But anyway, give us a call back, Daniel. Thank you. Ed in Alexandria, good morning. I hate to cut Daniel off, but go right ahead, Ed.
Yes, well, to respond to the guy who just called it, I'm an Hispanic myself.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I voted Republican this time is because at least I knew where George Bush stand as far as the morals was concerned. He seems to be a very stand firm on what he believes in, the gay marriages and the abortion stuff of that nature. Having said that, I trade that, all of that, knowing that for the past 4 years since George W. Bush has been in power, I have seen my a decline in my income in my house for over $30,000, but I would trade those $30,000 anytime, anywhere, to have a little bit of morals, because this thing about the gay marriage is just garbage to me.
And, you know, Ed, thank you very much for your call. Ed is pulling out a point that as you look down into the discussion about this election, many felt very strongly about moral values. I mean, we didn't hear about moral values before the election, but after the election, then we found out about moral values. And a lot of people are very, very much, you know, very obligated to that.
Can I echo something Ed said? It's amazing in this country when we are amazed that people find something more important than money. Where we think we can win a whole election based on jobs, but people have things that are more important than jobs.
Ellie just called a while ago and said that's what makes America, the fact that you can find many things that, I mean, what affects you may not affect me, you know?
And this again points to the poor job that the Democrats did in communicating a long and proud tradition of integrity and compassion in their policies.
Ellie, Will in D.C., good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Very quickly, please.
Okay, I just wanted to find out, if this is a, quote, mandate, unquote, it seems to me that I would be the bigger one to reach out and court those that don't trust me. I want to know from the panel, if they had an opportunity to sit with the president and talk to him, what would their suggestions be to bringing the country together? I'm a disabled guy.
That's a good question, and I'm going to end with that, sir. Just because of our timing, but I hear your question. Let's go around the panel. Thank you very much, Will. I hope you have a good day. Okay, buddy?
I would ask the president.
Go with Nicholas Sawalk, Libertarian.
I would ask the president to not focus on the divisive issues, to focus on the issues that unite Americans, and work to uphold the ideals that he got elected on. I think in 2000 he didn't do as much of that. He said a lot of things in the debates that he later didn't do. And I'm hoping that this time he'll actually live up to what he said he would do during the debates.
Looking ahead, moving ahead, Eric Mickelson, Green Party.
Well, you know, I would ask the president to, because I think he firmly believes in his heart of heart that he's doing the right thing for the country. I might ask for him just to give a bit of an explanation as to how he sees his policies improving lives for everyday Americans.
And Emily Leffler, Independent.
Well, as Patrice said earlier, I think that if he can back off the "you're either with us or against us" stand, there's a chance for more popular backing of the president.
Patrice McKinney, Democrat.
Jerry, if I had the opportunity to sit with President Bush, I would ask him to be more focused on pragmatism and less stuck on ideology.
And my buddy, you learned last word on this one, Jim Pomeroy, Republican.
Well, I would say that the president is doing a fine job, is validated by his electoral mandate. And I would say continue to do what you're doing. It's working well with the public. They voted for it. Keep on keeping on.
Thank you very much to my panel this morning, my political First Sunday political panel. We'll see you next month. And we'll talk about Christmas toys. I'd like to thank certainly Emily Leffler, Independent, James Pomeroy, Republican, Nicholas Sawalk, Libertarian, Eric Mickelson, Green Party, and Patrice McKinney, Democrat. I want to thank those who helped to put it together this morning, certainly. Steve Solomon is our technical producer. Carolina Restrepo is our research producer. Shaheen, public affairs assistant, written and produced by yours truly, Jerry Phillips. Metro Talk is the WBIG, Big 100.3, and a Sports Talk 980 WTEM. Public Affairs presentation from Clear Channel Radio in D.C. It's going to be a gorgeous day. Get out and enjoy. It's going to turn cool tomorrow. But I leave you with one word for unity. Much peace and much love.